In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear brethren, we have noticed this morning that Advent is a special season, even in church. No more flowers and relics on the altar. The organ plays only to accompany the singers. Advent is a special time. It's a time of preparation. It's a penitential time, because we have to make space, room in our souls, in our life, in our world, for Jesus Christ. We are preparing to celebrate the first coming of Jesus, the Nativity. And we are also looking at the final coming of Jesus at the end of the world, in glory, at the end of time. Advent is focused on these two comings of Christ, at Christmas and at the end of time. There is also a middle coming of Jesus. He is coming now in grace, especially in the Holy Eucharist. It's not in the past or in the future, it's now. God is also here now, closer, much closer than we think. We have to stay awake, and Advent is awake. It's not time for hibernation. And that is the spirituality of Advent. We have to stay awake. God is closer than we think, even in this time that is not perfect. God is closer than we think. Let us not miss Him. Advent is the appropriate time to realize that God is closer than we think. Do you know what needs to be for us the spiritual program for this Advent? The best spiritual program for you and I is very simple. We are going to beg Jesus to reveal Himself to us. This is the challenge of Advent. It's an invitation for a real closeness with the Lord. If you don't want to have a second-hand relationship with Jesus, ask Him many times and again in your day. Ask Him all the time during this Advent season to reveal Himself to you. Advent calls to mind the three comings of Christ. The first in history, the second now in grace, and the third coming at the end of time. Meditating upon each of these three comings is very helpful to prepare, to be ready, to be prepared for the holy season upon which we are embarking. Let us first look back. Bishop Fulton Sheen said that Jesus is the only religious founder whose coming was clearly predicted. And indeed, we can find throughout the Old Testament indications and anticipations on the arrival of the Messiah. The New Testament often uses the language of fulfillment and insists that the events surrounding Jesus occurred katatas graphas, according to the scriptures. Furthermore, the authors of the New Testament understood very well that Jesus had brought all of history in a very real sense to its climax. The turning point of the human story is not therefore the emergence of modernity, not the revolutions of the 18th century, but rather the birth of Jesus, the Savior of the world. Indeed, something so dramatic that all of time should be understood as falling either before Him or after Him. And so during Advent, we look back with deep interest and spiritual attention to that first coming. Christ came in time, long ago, but we must attend the second dimension of Advent, namely, His coming to us in the here and now. We might think of that famous painting of Jesus knocking at the door. This is Christ who presents Himself every day, seeking entry into our hearts and minds. In His first coming, He appeared in the context of Israel. In this present day Advent, He appears through the sacrament of the Church, through good preaching, teaching, through the witness of the saints, through the Holy Eucharist especially, and through the poor who cry out to be cared for. We recall His words, Jesus saying, "Whatsoever you do to the least of my people, you do to me." Now, just as many rejected Him when He came in history, so, sadly enough, many also reject Him today. Can we see that the most important decision we will never make, more important than the decisions regarding jobs, family, livelihood, etc., is whether we allow Jesus to become the Lord of our lives. During the season of Advent, we are meant to stop and pay close attention. How is Jesus coming to us, and how precisely we are dealing with His arrival? And finally, Advent calls to mind Christ's definitive coming at the end of time. One of the peculiar marks of Christianity is the belief that time is going somewhere. That is Christian concept of time. Time as a direction, moving toward its consummation. And the Gospels speak of that very often, the consummation of times. Here is just one example from the Gospel of St. Luke today. Jesus said to His disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth nations will be in dismay. People will fall on fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world. And they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." What this remarkable language conveys is the conviction that at the close of the age, the old order will give way and God will renew the great structuring patterns of reality, and God's justice will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. We are living in the in-between times, that is to say, in between the culmination of history in the birth, in the cross, and in the resurrection of our Lord. And the definitive fulfillment of history in the second coming of Jesus. The war against sin and death has been won, and yet mop-up operations continue. The Church lives in that middle zone where the final stage of the battle is still being fought. Let's pay attention, especially during the Advent season. Though we are beset on all sides by failure, pain, sin, sickness, tragedies, and the fear of death, we live in joyful hope, for we know that history, we know that time is going somewhere, that God has won the decisive battle and will win the war. Therefore, this Advent, let us look back, look around, and look forward. With each glance, we see Jesus who comes. God is closer than we think. This is a challenge and the invitation for this Advent season. Get closer to Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.